This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Britton joins us. He's a local author, historian, cartographer, online at rickbritton.com. Joins us on Friday afternoons to talk a little history. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. I like your hat.
Thank you.
County Library.
Yeah. I gave a talk down there, and they gave me a free hat.
I love that.
I love that too,
I love when people give me caps, like baseball caps.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you know what? I needed a new one.
Yeah.
And so there I was, and they were handing me one.
I wear them all the time. Like on the weekend?
Yeah.
I'm always in a hat.
Yeah. Well, see, you're lucky. You're still a young guy. You've got hair. I'm an older guy. I don't have so much hair. So in the summertime, I actually need one.
How does that work? Do you inherit that gene from your grandfather? Yeah. I was told it's your mother's father.
I look just like my mother's father. He was an Italian, born in Palermo, Sicily.
Yeah.
Sicilian. I look exactly like him. His name was Luis Cesar Romano.
Ooh. Yeah. Bene.
And he had very little hair at my age. Yeah.
My mom's dad had a full head of hair into his 90s.
There you go.
So I guess I'm
lucky
good to go.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Lucky
thank goodness.
You, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know friends who went bald before they were 30.
Like this older guy told his son on one of my favorite commercials of all time, "Son, I had it when I needed it."
And now I don't need it no more.
Don't need it anymore.
That's
I'm married.
Funny.
It's okay. I've lost it.
That's so funny. Rick Britton, what are we talking about today? The Battle of Wilderness?
We're talking about the Battle of Wilderness, but I just wanted
to tell...
It's been in the news, but I just wanted to tell everybody a couple of things really quickly. First, we still got the lecture and day trip series going on at the Senior Center. They're on Pepsi Place, off of Greenbrier. And the next free talk is Tuesday, October 13th. Bill Bergen, who's a well-published Civil War expert, he's going to be speaking on the Battle of Cedar Creek. And then that Saturday, so this is a different kind of trip, that Saturday, October 17th, we're actually going to go see the reenactment at Cedar Creek. And a lot of people are interested in reenactments and just never go. So here's a chance to
people really get into that
with a whole bus of folks. And no, we don't have the cooler in the back of the bus. I know you were going to ask me about
that.
Yeah,
of course.
Or you mean the actually the
keg.
The keg. No, we don't have a keg in the bottom in the
when
back
is,
of the
really
the senior
no,
center
I,
bus.
I jest. When is the last time you stood at a keg and pumped a keg?
Me?
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
At a friend's party.
Been forever.
How about you?
I stopped drinking in 1995.
Good for you.
1995.
Well, you know what? Everything in moderation. So every now and then I have a drink.
Yeah, see, that's
everything
my problem.
In moderation.
I don't know nothing about no moderation. Nobody in my family knows anything about moderation. I'm not related to anyone who knows anything about moderation. Believe me. Gosh. So how can folks get more information about this?
So they can call down to the Senior Center Travel Office. It's 974-6538, or you can get information on the website, and it's seniorcenterinc.org, and check that out. I'm teaching a class, as you know, about the Tales of the University, and that we're having a lot of fun with that one. In January, I'm going to be doing another one, and it's kind of similar, although this one's called Characters of Central Virginia, and we're famous for our characters. So we're going to talk about Dr. Thomas Walker, father of Kentucky, James Monroe at the Battle of Trenton, a bona fide hero, our fifth president of the Battle of Trenton, Cyrus McCormick, the inventor of the Reaper, who's just from over the mountain in Rockbridge County, Benjamin Franklin Ficklin, owned Monticello for a while, the founder of the Pony Express out west, Maud Coleman Woods, she's buried in Maplewood Cemetery. Around 100 years ago, she was named America's Most Beautiful Blonde, and she was from right here in Charlottesville, Virginia. Anastasia, the character to end all characters.
Yeah.
Archie Challoner, who was a local millionaire, lived up at the Merry Mills across from Castle Hill, who was a certified Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Fascinating life. Claudius Crozet, Dolly Madison, Samuel Miller, who founded the Miller School, interesting guy, the story of the moon ghost down in southern Albemarle, and Frank Peregoy, who was a
You've
local
talked about
boy
him on this program.
Who won the Congressional Medal of Honor post...
When did that guy own Monticello, that guy you mentioned?
Right? He owned Monticello right at the end of the Civil War. Benjamin Franklin Ficklin purchased it on November 17th, 1864, and
from the levees?
Owned it from the... No, from the Confederate States government. The Confederate States government had seized it, as we talked about. So he bought it from them for $80,000 in Confederate bills. And, of course, at the end of the war, that whole thing was null and void.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it went back into court. So you can find out information soon about this class, too, at that same website, SeniorCenterInc.org. It's going to be a lot of fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking with Rick Britton. It is 4:42 on the clock. He joins us live in studio. Let us turn our attention now to the Battle of Wilderness, which has been, holy cow, in the news so much because of this Walmart debate.
Yeah, and if people are wondering, I guess a lot of folks haven't been up there lately, but the Walmart, it's not just a regular Walmart. It's a supercenter Walmart. It's
with the grocery store.
240,000 square foot retail center on a 51.5-acre parcel, and all this information came out today in the Fredericksburg Freelance Star. And if you imagine as you're driving up 20 to intersect with Route 3...
You go right through the wilderness,
you go right through the wilderness, and you're going to take that right to go into Fredericksburg, and Route 3, as everybody knows, kind of looks a lot like 29 North.
Yeah, that's Fredericksburg's 29. It looks Route 3.
It looks pretty bad. Talk about planning gone awry, or no planning, right? No planning. So at that intersection of 20 and 3... There's a Sheetz on the left.
Been there many times, Rick.
Right? Which would be to your west.
Yep.
And if you look north...
7-Eleven.
There's a 7-Eleven, but look a little bit further north and to the left, and that's where that parcel of land is. Now, a lot of people are saying, yeah, but it's a, you know, it's a half a mile from the core battlefield.
Where the
core
display
battlefield
is.
Being to your right and behind you. Yeah. But the idea is, the problem is, it's just... too large a retail center, and nobody, we've talked about this before, nobody ever has seen a Walmart stay in a place by itself. It's going to be the beginning of a little mini city there at that intersection, and it has to be stopped. I mean, the people who go up there to appreciate the history, to honor their ancestors, to honor all those people who sacrificed so much on both sides, gave everything, the last full measure, it's just going to be ruined by having this Walmart supercenter. And the folks who, the preservationists filed a suit, I guess just yesterday, and it was in the news today, and the idea is not to stop Walmart from being anywhere in Orange County. There are three other Walmarts within a 20-mile radius of that site. The idea is, okay, Walmart, you want to build in Orange County, that's fine. Just build it someplace else, not that close, not a half a mile. It's just too close, and it's going to be the beginning of a city. Some of the points in the lawsuit, and the lawsuit was filed in Orange County Circuit Court by the National Trust for Historic Preservation, along with the Friends of the Wilderness Battlefield and six local residents. They claim that the board in Orange County failed to comply with the county's comprehensive plan, which calls for preservation and protection of historic resources. And number two, the county's zoning ordinance is invalid because it fails to comply with state laws that require such ordinances as to provide protections for historic sites. So it's invalid, their ordinances. And that there were procedural defects in the Planning Commission's three separate votes. And as a result, the commission did not make a valid recommendation as required by Virginia state law. So that's the basis of this lawsuit. So hopefully they can slow them down. And they've also offered, the preservationists have offered to fund a panel, a planning panel, to find another site nearby for Walmart to raise the money to fund the panel to find another place.
Yeah. Well, they certainly build them close to each other. There's one in Stanton, and 10 miles away there's another one in Waynesboro.
Right. Right. Right.
And they're both super Walmarts with grocery stores.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what it comes down to me, well, there are a lot of problems with the wilderness. I think that if it was another battlefield, and we'll talk about in the quiz, we'll talk about the size and the relative sizes of these different battles. If it was a different battlefield, I think there wouldn't be the same kind of reaction or lack of reaction by the local folks. There's a lot of problems with the wilderness. Number one, it was mostly wooded. It's still mostly wooded, so it's very difficult to interpret that battlefield. It's very difficult to understand that battle because it took place mostly 95% in the woods. Yes, there was some fighting across clearings in the woods, but that makes it very difficult for everybody to understand and for visitors to interpret or historians to take people and explain it to them. It makes it a lot more difficult. There are no big hills where you're standing and there's this incredible vista. And
yeah.
You can say,
Civil War battlefields, right, they're big fields, right?
And you can say, see that hill a half mile over there? That's where that happened. And see this house over here? It's very difficult relative to other Civil War battlefields. There's no visitor center.
There's just a little covered...
That's right, a shelter.
Yeah.
To get the information, you have to go to either the Chancellorsville Visitor Center or you have to go to the Fredericksburg Visitor Center, which is pretty far away, actually, to get the brochures, to get the maps, to get the information, to then go back out to the wilderness. And the other thing, the obvious problem is, of course, it was 145 years ago, and for most Americans, there are no longer any faces on the men, on the people. They're no longer, they don't remember the personal stories for all these people who fought, who bled, who died there. But just to give you an example, yeah, right in my immediate family, my wife's great-great-uncle, she had two great-great-uncles, but one of them in particular, Asa McCusick, was there at the Wilderness with the 9th New Hampshire Infantry. He made it through the Battle of the Wilderness, but at the next major battle, Spotsylvania Courthouse, a little bit down the road, he was captured by the Confederates, and he ended up in a prisoner of war camp in North Carolina, and he died
there. You know, it's a great point, because if there were veterans of this war,
absolutely,
and they were standing out there in that field,
absolutely,
we wouldn't even be here.
No, absolutely.
And there would be a visitor center. There would be, you know,
absolutely. Imagine if somebody in France wanted to put a convenience store, you know, on one of the beaches at Normandy.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a huge uproar.
Yeah.
And so this is a shame. And it's, you know, people lately have been talking about Americans' lack of empathy. And I think this is another example of people's lack of empathy. And when you think about it, here's the big question to me. Are we going to honor our ancestors or not? Are we going to honor these people or not? Benjamin Franklin said, "Show me your cemeteries, and I will tell you what kind of society you have." And it's really close to the point. Are we going to honor these people who fought, who bled, who died, and the places where they did that? Are we going to honor them, or are we just going to forget them and put, this kind of crass retail outlet right on top of a place where they did that?
Well, it really underscores the tension and the struggle that we've had since the founding of America between democracy and capitalism.
Absolutely.
And capitalism is winning and has been winning for a long time. Doesn't mean you don't have capitalism. It means you got to have a balance. And we don't have a balance in this country.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah. We just don't have that. And that's why we can have something like this, and you can have the free market purists say, screw the battlefield. This is about business. This country is about business. You know, that should be the priority, and everything else is secondary. And I'm one of those people who believes, which is why this makes me a political moderate, I don't think everything else should be secondary.
No.
You know?
No.
I believe in business. I believe in entrepreneurs. I do think they are overregulated, of course. But I also think that this is a great example. Sometimes you do need to stand up and say, you know what? Why don't you put that Walmart somewhere else?
Absolutely, absolutely. Gordon Gekko in that movie Wall Street, he was wrong, that character played by Michael Douglas. Greed isn't always good.
Yeah.
Greed is always good, and it's not always about money. There are things more important than money. And this is one of them. I believe honoring our ancestors and what they did and what they sacrificed for us so that we can have this country that we've got today.
Yeah,
and
because
enjoy
honoring our ancestors on both sides of that war.
Both sides.
Because it was that war that created America.
Absolutely.
Before that, it was just a bunch of separate states, like separate countries. We didn't really have this sense, and this is what the Ken Burns documentary is all about. There was no real sense of America as one nation under God until after the Civil War.
Agreed.
Yeah. We're talking with Rick Britton. He's online at rickbritton.com. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Do you have a quiz? We want to give away some stuff?
I do have a quiz.
Well, let's do that, and I have some Domino's pizza for everybody that wins, and if you give me a call, I'm going to help you win. 977-1070. Let's go to question number one.
Okay, this is a Battle of the Wilderness quiz. The Wilderness, of course, was fought on May 5th and 6th of 1864. True or false? This is number one. The Battle of the Wilderness was the first battlefield confrontation between Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee. True or false?
Let's go to caller number one. Caller number one, what's your name?
Doug.
Hey, Doug. Happy Friday. How are you?
Same to you. Good.
Rick, ask the question again.
I've got a feeling Doug knows the answer to this one. Doug, you ready?
I think it's true.
It is. It's absolutely true, of course. And one of the reasons that battlefield is so important is because it was the first confrontation. And so you can argue that it was the beginning of the end for the Confederacy.
Because there you go.
Ulysses S. Grant was here, and he was going to see it through.
Congratulations, Doug. Hold on just a minute.
Thanks.
He's on line one. Leon, hook him up with some free Domino's pizza, and let's go to caller number two. What's your name?
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Happy Friday, my friend.
See you. Thank you.
Let's go to question two, Rick.
Jeff, you ready?
My knowledge of Civil War lore is not great, but I'll give it a try.
Okay, good. Well, you got a 50-50 chance on this one. True or false? The Wilderness was one of the Civil War's five largest battles, and when I say largest, it's in numbers of men engaged. True or false?
True.
Absolutely true.
All right.
Absolutely
there you go.
True. Another reason that this battlefield is so important, and I was checking the numbers just this morning in a book that's considered to be the authority, there is actually a possibility, because there's some question, you know, some of these are questionable, the totals. There's actually a possibility that the Wilderness is the Civil War's largest battle. But there's no question
bigger than Gettysburg.
That it's in the top five. Yeah, in numbers of engaged. Gettysburg, about 158,000. Cold Harbor, 167,000. Chancellorsville, 155,000. Fredericksburg, 172,000. Wilderness, somewhere between 165,000 and 175,000. So there's this big swing there. So there's a possibility it might be the biggest, but there's no doubt it's in the top five.
Congratulations, Jeff. Hold on, and Leon's going to hook you up with some free pizza. Leon, he is on line two. And he wins. Let's go to caller number three. Caller, what's your first name?
Rick.
Rick, happy Friday. How you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Very good, very good. Thanks for calling. And let's go to question number three.
Here is question number three, and this one's actually multiple guess. The Battle of the Wilderness was the first of a campaign called A, the Overland Campaign, B, the Central Virginia Campaign, C, the Orange County Campaign.
What was your first choice again?
The first choice was the Overland Campaign.
Well, I would have to go with third choice and hoping that that's right.
The Orange County Campaign? No, that's not right. No, but try again.
Try again, try again.
You know, oftentimes your first instinct is the best.
Well, then I guess I'll go back to A.
Yeah, that's it. The Overland Campaign. Good job.
That's how we roll. Congratulations.
I like that. So does that mean it was part of Chancellorsville was a bit...
No, Chancellorsville was the year before in 63.
Quite a bit earlier. And then and Fredericksburg was obviously later.
No, Fredericksburg was earlier, too.
Fredericksburg was earlier.
It was in December of 62, yeah. So this is in 64.
Well, I totally messed that up then.
But you got it right.
But you got some pizza. Hold on just a minute.
You got some pizza.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Hold on, and Leon's going to hook you up with some free Domino's pizza. He is on line three, Leon. And we got did we lose it? We got a line open at 977-1070 for question number four. If you want to play, give me a call. What's question four?
Question four, true or false, following the Battle of the Wilderness, the Union Army continued to advance. Is that true or false? In other words, in the past, after big battles that were losses or draws, and people could argue that the Battle of the Wilderness was a draw, a tactical draw, the federal commanders would take the army back to the rear. But is that what happened after the Battle of the Wilderness?
Let's go to caller number on line one. Caller, what's your first name? Hello? You there? Caller, what's your first name?
Brandy.
Hey, Brandy, happy Friday. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Let Rick ask one more time. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, Brandy, true or false? Following the Battle of the Wilderness, the Union Army continued to advance. Is that true or false?
False.
No, try again.
Try again, try again, try again, quick.
True.
Yeah, good job.
There you go.
Good job.
Congratulations.
That was one of the great things about Ulysses S. Grant. He was determined to see this thing through. And so even though technically you could consider the Battle of the Wilderness a tactical draw, he made it a strategic victory in the fact that he didn't let it stop him. He continued on.
Congratulations, Brandy. You got some pizza, and I hope you have a good weekend. Hold on, and Leon will hook you up. She's on line two. Rick Britton, he's online at rickbritton.com. Rick, as always, enjoyed it, and thank you, and have a great weekend.
You're welcome. You too. Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.